Are we still on?
We're here.
Okay. I just, when it clicked, it sounded so dead.
Do you want to leave these muted or unmuted?
Let's be muted until we have communication to the board.
Okay. You said unmuted, right?
No, have it, I guess, it's okay. Just leave it unmuted because I'm going to talk in just a minute.
Okay.
Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Excuse me.
Oh, it's too late. It's with this COVID thing everything.
You do much of anything?
About what?
Fishing, golfing?
Yeah.
I went fishing a couple of weeks ago. I was with some friends.
Stay home too much.
Oh, really?
I didn't catch anything. All
no.
I beat the fish farm.
Hey,
exactly.
Yeah.
To go right by the kitchen to do, you know.
Terry Hansen lives up in Akron. Is he still around, Terry? Terry Hansen?
Yep.
Is he still around?
I think so, but he's plugging to it.
Too good. I thought when you said you used to go out there in the country, I thought maybe you could visit him when you used to tell me that you used to go out there with your friends. Oh, okay. See, I thought it was Terry.
No.
I never seen him. I wonder what happened to him. I didn't see him anywhere.
He lives here.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
What?
Different.
So yeah. So what you can look at it a couple ways. You can. Let me show you another
okay.
way.
Monday morning.
Okay. When you first log in, this is where I'm just going to show you real quick. Log out.
That was a good cake.
I ate too much of that cake. Good.
Now all you want to do is sleep.
Oh, no.
Log in. Okay.
Well, let me show you this first. This right here.
Okay.
Want an extra step in there next to you?
Okay.
And then right here, saved it. So now all you got to do is push that. And it's
sure.
And then it's the most current meeting.
Right. Yeah.
And if you do... Yeah, this
okay.
will be the whole agenda, see, called the order and invocation, recognition.
I'll do that.
And these are all the attachments
right.
as they talk
and
about
them. Them.
October meeting.
Sure.
Okay, so that might be the easiest way to follow along the meeting.
Okay. That'll
Does
work.
That make sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
There we go. Way to expand this thing so I can see the whole thing without...
Did you get four, Kevin? Did you get four? Did you get four?
Yeah.
There you go.
Let me just see.
Hey.
That's why you have to eat dessert first. Life is short.
I've said that my whole life. And I do that a lot.
Here's my...
Adrian, are you on?
Yes, ma'am.
Mark, are you on?
I'm here.
Okay. Max, are you on?
Max is on.
All right.
Okay, that means we have a majority here, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. As required by state law, this meeting is open to the public by telephonic communications. College is complying with suspended proceedings of the Open Meetings Act in accordance with 418.016 of the Texas Government Code. Members of the public are entitled to participate in the college through remote connections or may attend in person at this time.
And you've got a, I have all of your members.
We have all of our members present. We have a majority. Okay. We don't have anyone to communicate to the board. It doesn't look like.
Okay. On communication to the board, the gentleman that is wanting to speak texted me, and he is driving in, is going to be late. So if you want to go ahead and do invocation, recognition, and do routine matters, and maybe he'll be here in a minute.
Okay.
Would you like to get out of order?
Yeah, and I neglected to ask anyone to give invocation, so I guess I will. May we pray with him, please. Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. Praise you with us. Give us your guidance. Help us through these meetings and help us through this COVID-19 crisis. Pray that you will be with us and give us your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Yes.
Thank
everyone here is familiar with us.
Yes.
With the new press
it's
and everyone here.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to our...
if you want to skip communication to the board, go to routine matters.
At a later time.
Okay.
You've all had a chance to look at the... actually, I'm having trouble with my deal here. You've all had a chance to look at your routine matters in your notebook, so I would entertain a motion to approve those routine matters.
So moved.
I have a motion to have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
That makes four. Thank you. Approved. Okay, no unfinished business. How about some new business statement officers?
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, with the three trustees that have been reelected or elected officially, then it's time to do the statement of officer and oath of office ceremony. And so on the statement of officer, we'll need John, Patricia, and Ben at the podium, and you'll be reading the and signing the anti-bribery documentation. And your particular one is already there.
Okay. If you'll raise your right hand. I state your name.
I
solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of Howard College of the state of Texas and will do to the best of my ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state. So help me God. Okay. Here you are.
It's always crooked.
Yeah, well.
Okay, our next item on the agenda is the election of officers for the Howard College Board of Trustees. Does anyone have any suggestions as to what we are? We have, chairman, Maxwell Barr, the vice chairman, and Edward Cavio is the treasurer. So, does anyone have any changes they want to make?
I move to accept the officers as they have been.
Accept the officers as they've been. Have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
One more.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay, motion passes. Thank you. All right. Well, you've done it again. Here I am.
You want to do it again, John?
Well, I'm beginning to think, you know, I've been, 15 years or more? It's time probably to bring in some new blood. So I would like for the board to start considering someone else as a chairman, even though I'd like to remain on the board. So, but that's up to you. It's your choice. And I'll discuss that with y'all later. All right. Next item is the 75th anniversary kickoff plans.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, before we go there, Mr. John J. Flores has arrived, and so if you want to do the communication, if you want to go back to the communication to the board now,
sure,
you
we're
could.
Sure, we're going to do the communications to the board now from the public. Come in, John. Yes, please come to the podium.
First and foremost, it's an honor and a privilege to be here before you guys. My name is John J. Flores. I'm a business owner of J&J Handyman. And we started an unprecedented event by the name of Operation Love Letters. Perhaps some of you have heard of it. Perhaps some of you have not. What we're doing is we're distributing letters known as love letters, thus the name Operation Love Letters, to all the elderly in our community and the veterans' homes, etc. Now, because a lot of people aren't connected with social media, it is vital that we not only connect with the radio stations and or the newspapers, which have been done. What I'm asking you guys is we're trying to figure out a way to do rent out a portion of the college in order to have families come in to write the love letters. So I'm thinking, you know, on the weekend, because it's really important, we have 1,000-plus elderly in our community, and we're talking all the nursing homes, not just one, and we're also including Lehman Lusk, which is the veterans' home. There's also an MR, West Texas Center. So we come out with about a head count of about 1,000. Now we have buckets all over Big Springs with already established businesses that are part of this program. And so the letters aren't coming in as we would like them to. So therefore, I was speaking to Mr. Russ Rutledge, and I'm not speaking for him, but we come up with an idea that if we had a facility to be able to facilitate the community tables to be able to sit down and write letters for the elderly, and the way we're going to address the letters is dear friend and or dear beloved. So we are wanting to possibly, we talked about maybe doing a lunch sack where they can come and just pick it up and go. It's going to be, you know, a family's, you know, if it's a Mexican family, then you're probably looking at about 8 people coming all at once. But anyways, that's what my proposal is if there's a possibility that maybe we can utilize one of the facilities here at Howard College, because we do want to play safety with the COVID. A lot of families and a lot of the elderly people that want to contribute to these letters, they cannot do so, first and foremost, because they don't do Facebook, they don't do any social media, but they do newspapers, and they just don't know where to drop off the letters. So if we can get an event like that going where we can have these families come in and write their letters really quickly, and then they'll go, and then the next family will come in. I have a business of 6 employers that would be able to do like a controlled environment where we can wipe down the tables and whatnot to, you know, have those precautions that we need. And that, I think, about covers it.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, John. Yes, sir. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
See what we can do.
Yes, sir.
I think earlier, John, we've got so many laws with the state that we have to follow.
That's right.
I understand that now. So
yes, sir.
We'll be working on that. Thank you very much. I know the whole community is going to be supporting.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now we can move on to our 75th anniversary kickoff.
You and Howard County Appraisal District Board?
Nope. I guess I should move back.
Yeah.
I told you I can't read this silly new thing.
Yeah. Small for you.
All right, Howard County Appraisal and District Board.
Okay, and Mr. Miller and Craig Weirich had intended to attend today, but they had a change of plans. So basically, the purpose of their attending was to introduce the board to the new tax appraiser, chief tax appraiser, and that is Richard Miller. And then also just give a little bit of an overview, and they I'm thinking they'll be able to do that at a later date. They were also going to update you on the fact, you'll remember at the last board meeting that there was discussion about the fact that Brandon Iden had resigned from the board, and so all of the taxing entities had the opportunity to submit names for nomination for them to consider. And you all determined to pass on that, but they did choose Sandy Smith, and she is now in Brandon Iden's place. They also, as I mentioned at the last board meeting, Tony Kennedy also has resigned, and he is moving to another community. And so they're in the process of replacing his position, and so they're seeking nominations again, and we do know that Robert Wash has been nominated from Forsan ISD. I don't think that the Coma ISD has officially nominated anyone. There's someone in consideration, and so do you all that you would like to recommend for us to turn in to the Howard County Appraisal District Board for them to consider. What they will do is take the names from the taxing entities, and then they'll make the selection. That's different than what normally happens. If a person terms out and they are being replaced, then that is a process where everybody, all the taxing entities actually vote, and you have so many, every taxing entity has so many votes that they submit for the candidates. But this is different because this is a resignation in the middle of a term. So they take the recommendations and then they make a decision.
my personal opinion is that Robert Walsh would be a great one. And of course, we know Mark Barr is. So I have no recommendations. Anyone else have any recommendations? Okay. Well, I guess we'll just let that go.
Okay. I'll let them know that we didn't have anyone. Okay?
All right. Okay. Now let's move on to the 75th anniversary of the song.
All right. Well, there's nothing like kicking off a 75th anniversary in the middle of a pandemic. But not a problem. We are going to do so, and we are very fortunate that when we celebrate 75th anniversary, we start with November 17th, which is the creation of the Howard County Junior College District by the voters of Howard County back in 1945. And then we culminate with the celebration of the 75th anniversary of the first day of class, which is September 30 of 2021. So, again, 75 years ago, the taxpayers of Howard County voters determined that they wanted to have one of these things called a junior college at that point in time. And they voted to have the college, and then they also voted to tax themselves. And so that was on that first election. Then, again, very quickly, those people worked to put a college together, and we literally, 10 months later, had our first day of class. That amazes me how they did that, but they did. And we had our first class on September 30. So we're going to do the same thing. We have a pandemic we're going to be dealing with. They had a challenge, and we're going to work through this. And so tomorrow we are going to start off with, and these are events. What we're doing all of our social distancing. We're keeping the group small, but we're gonna take advantage, like we all are, of everything that we can through social media. And we're going to be putting our what we're doing on Facebook Live so that we can share it with our college community. So tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a ribbon cutting on our roofing project that's about to begin. That's going to be a sizable project, for both the SWID campus and the Big Spring campus. And so it just happens that the individuals that are going to be involved with that roofing project, the contractor, the architects, they were already planning on meeting, and so for their kickoff meeting, and so we think that's a big deal. It's going to be a big project, and from those hailstorms that we experienced a few years back, and our insurance funds are going to cover that work. And so that'll be the first thing in the morning that we will do. Then, after we finish with the ribbon cutting for the roof, then we will move into, at 10:45, we're going to go down to the trail that the Big Spring Adventure Club, which is the Big Spring campus, it's a student club, and they have put together a trail. This is something that these young people and their sponsor have been working on, really, I guess, now about a couple of years. And so they have worked on the trail. It's ready. And so we're going to have a ribbon cutting for that at 10:45. That's a student project, but, again, we think very fitting to do on the 75th anniversary. At 11:30, which is right across a few steps away, over at the softball field, we'll have the groundbreaking at Foundation Field for the softball program and the construction trades program joint project. If you'll recall, the last meeting we talked about the fact that the softball team, they've been working on raising funds, continue to. At the same time, our construction trades program, they're always looking for live work, live projects, and so this is going to be a joint project between those two groups, and the softball team is doing the fundraising, construction trades is doing the work. And so we're going to do the groundbreaking of that at 11:30. And then that afternoon, and that again is going to be a small group. We're doing the same thing for Adventure Club. It's just basically those students, small group of people involved with that. Same thing again on the Fieldhouse groundbreaking. And then when we get to 5 o'clock, the chamber is, we're doing the Alive After 5 event for the chamber. It's going to be outside, out in front of the Old Main in the P.W. Malone Plaza, and that is a small group that is related to the chamber. At 5:15, we will have the kickoff celebration, ribbon cutting of, again, the 75th, and we're going to unveil the 75th brick. If any of you have ever been up in the Arboretum and you've looked around in the plaza, you will see that there's already some bricks up there from a previous celebration, and it gives credit to the fact that the chamber had something to do with the very beginning of the creation of the college, as did the Herald, and has some interesting history up there in the front. And so the 75th brick will be placed in that same area. So we'll have a very short celebration, unveil the 75th brick, and again, that'll be Facebook Live. So we're going to do all these Facebook Live so that we can share with our college community, and that will be our beginning. Now, we intend in the months ahead, these 10 months, we're going to be taking advantage of different opportunities on every one of our campuses to celebrate all the campuses' roles in the Howard County Junior College District. And so we'll have more information about that as time goes on. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. And our next item on the agenda is visiting mission, values, and strategic planning framework.
Okay. Okay, in closed, you had information on the framework of our vision and mission plan. And Brian,
he's not made it yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll get started. Do you want me to start it? You want to go ahead? Okay. Okay.
And I want to give credit also. He wasn't sure. He may walk in any second. And I hope y'all can y'all hear me? Cause I'm looking at my laptop. So Brian Stokes is our Director of Institutional Effectiveness. And so we were, and I was talking about it before, we were supposed to start our three-year review again of vision mission, the guess what, COVID hit. And so we postponed that, and I know if you're board of the institute, y'all talk more about that. So this PowerPoint that's in your board book is on the screen. Brian has put this together. He's done a great job of laying the framework for now how we move forward in our planning. So he lists that final planning assessment. Of course, SAC-COC, our accreditation body, a major component of that is they do expect that we will always look at improving quality, looking at outcomes, analyzing, assessing, and then always working to make plans for improvement. And that is at the heart of institutional effectiveness. On the next slide, Ron just has listed the actual standards that are in our the factual standards that relate to institutional planning, and that just kind of keeps us on task with what we're supposed to be doing. Institutional effectiveness, it involves the institutional mission and then setting the strategic plan in all departments, all areas of the college, and everything relates back to that institutional vision and mission. And then you can go to the slide that has So this just illustrates how everything works together, your strategic planning, your operational planning, and then the IE and assessment of what the outcomes are actually, what you're seeing, the data, everything, the mission and the goals are the center of everything that we should be doing. And again, this next slide is just, it's a pyramid that again illustrates. You start, the top is your mission and institutional goals. You have programmatic goals and your educational programs. You have department goals, and those are your administrative and educational support areas. And then that foundation, the course department objectives, everything our people are doing are working back to support that overall mission and vision. The next slide, this actually is what our actual vision, mission, and values are now. I won't read those. And then that next slide, this also goes on to talk about our goals and strategy, but not talk, it lists our goals and strategies that we have now and how all those are relating. And what we have, we organize our department and division by planning units. And so each planning unit, like in my office area, I have a planning unit that we work on goals in my area. Cindy Smith, she's information and marketing. She has a planning unit, and their group works together to build objectives, assess the outcomes of those, and then see how are we relating back to that mission. So this just lists the steps that each planning unit goes through as they're working throughout the year to work towards the vision and mission. And this, the 2019-20 planning unit objectives, this just is some highlights of some of the things that have been accomplished, and this is just very few. In your, one of your documents you have in your board book is about a 98-page document. That is of all of the planning unit objectives that we have. And Brian, in this one, he just wanted to point out a few of them. Like this year, we expanded our core curriculum to an automatic graduation process where students no longer have to apply to participate in graduation. It's just an opt-in. We have digital accessibility in Blackboard. We implemented a single sign-on process to the IT department. Our library collection has been updated with a vast amount of online resources. You'll know you've been talking about the access control systems in buildings, saving and crews, we've been working on those. We have a lot of repairs in our dorms is listed there. Our dual credit programs, we've improved offerings there and increased as well. Financial has created a teaching and learning center. And then that last bullet is the student success funds and initiatives that we've been doing. So Brian, again, he just pulled out some highlights of the year with the planning unit. And this next slide is kind of really what we wanted to do today. This is the plan for moving forward with our strategic planning. And you'll see today we're launching the start of that process. And we are proposing, Brian's group, that we move to a five-year planning cycle where the vision mission that we set for the strategic framework will lead us into the next 5 years of strategic planning. We launched this today, this process today. At the December 14th meeting, we will prepare you even more, and you will be preparing for your retreat. And then in January, Brian has planned some surveys and different ways to communicate with our employees about getting their input on what our vision and mission is. And then Dr. Sparks is planning in February to March have the student roundtable where we will continue to get input. And in March, we will continue getting feedback. We hope by April that we will be able to share a draft of the vision and mission statement based on the input we received. And then we will continue to edit that and work with that draft through May and over the summer. And then by September, our goal is to start the new strategic planning cycle. That's a whole lot. And I may have skipped something for Dr. Sparks if you think something about it then.
No, I think you did great.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Appreciate that very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda is COVID-19.
Okay. We sure talk about COVID-19 a lot, don't we? And this is the update for this month, and you know how we have been handling this. And again, Emma has the information up, and you also have it in your in your board book, and I'm just going to kind of go through the highlights like I do every time and just talk about the things that have changed. Very interesting always is to see what has happened since the last time that you met. And this is information as of November the 11th, as far as all the counties that we serve. And you can see how the cases, the confirmations have increased across our service area. You can see, again, really, if you just look at all the counties, they've all increased except maybe, well, they've all increased. And so that is tracking with what is happening in the West Texas area. And actually, this morning, I visited with our fire chief, who is taking the lead on the emergency response in the county relative to the pandemic, and he had only talked to Affordicare at that point, but just over the weekend, they have 65 additional positives, and that's just Affordicare. He doesn't have the urgent care, and that, of course, doesn't count the clinics and that kind of thing. So definitely seeing a surge in Howard County. I know texting with our San Angelo campus, Pam and Jamie, over the last couple, 3 days, we're seeing the same thing happening in Tom Green. So we are seeing somewhat of a surge in our area. And what they call JRAC, which is the hospital regions, we have seen in our area, we've moved into a dark gold. And if you've looked at any of that, you know what I'm talking about. You can go to the Texas Tribune, and they have information about it, and you can see what is happening with hospitalization. So that's happening. And so when you just work through these charts, you can see how the confirmations had gone up on November the 11th, and we continue to see that over the last few days. So that was just the last time we did the count. On November the 11th, also you can see the active cases and what's going on with that. Active cases had actually gone down in Howard about 8, but sounds like they were going up again. Then you move to the next chart, and you'll see the recoveries and what is happening with that. Okay, I'm going to then take us over to page 14. Again, we are updating you all, trying to continually provide an overview of what's happening. We have added 5 core courses to the fall flex schedule, and then we have classes that will run from December the 21st to January the 15th. So we're trying to do things in between the regular fall semester, spring semester, to try to keep things moving in these mini semesters, and most of that is all virtual. At the FCI and GO, we were able to start classes, but that's in an altered format. We continue to confer with the ISDs on potential changes in the academic calendar. Everybody's responding to the different situations that they have, so we're working with our school districts on that. All right, page 19, we started our spring-summer registration on November the 10th and extended the drop date for fall courses to November the 18th. Again, all in an effort to try to help students adjust to the situations that we have. On page 21, again, as I've mentioned every time, with the CARES grant, there is reporting that goes along with that, and there's a new format that has been expected. want to give credit to Brenda, who has been doing the majority of those reports. And not only are we having, we do that, and then there's also LBB report. And so there's a lot of reporting that goes on with that. So, Brenda, for adding that to your very full plate. Page 24. We continue to do our best to recruit, as everyone does. We're doing everything we can virtual. And we have our virtual booth is live and will remain up through November 20. As of November the 4th, 337 students have visited the booth, and contact information is collected, and then we follow up with the students. We are trying to do what in-person visits we can, and some presentations have begun, and some in-person campus tours have begun. 10 FAFSA nights have completed with 3 to 4 still scheduled, one held virtually. And then on page 25, the quarterly budget and expenditure report for CARES Act institutional funds was submitted and posted as required on October 30, 2020. Another thing that Brenda's dealing with. Page 26. We were awarded a CARES grant from the Texas State Libraries and Archives Commission, and that's going to allow us to implement some services and technology that are necessary for COVID-19. We are moving along with athletics, and we did hire our women's basketball coach to replace Earl Dill with his retirement. Page 28. As of November the 12th, 8 requests for spring 2021 accommodation have been received and approved. We had a virtual new employee orientation on October 30 with 23 employees in attendance. That was interesting, but we managed that. Page 29, move-in for the dorms will begin January the 5th through the 14th. For athletes, we'll spread that out, and then we'll have other students beginning on January 15th, 17th, right before the semester begins. The residence halls will be closed during winter break to all students beginning November the 25th. If you remember, we scheduled our fall semester so it finishes before the Thanksgiving holiday. Our students will be taking their finals this Thursday and Friday and Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then the fall semester will conclude. Dorms will close. Then we will go to all virtual, and we will, as far as, and I say all virtual, our nursing program, we're still going to be doing some things face-to-face for nursing, but the majority of everything will be going to virtual. So we will do that in the December mini, and that's when we were talking about that additional scheduling that we've done so that students can take advantage of virtual during the breaks between the regular fall semester and the spring semester. We've already had 98 students check out early on the Big Spring campus. A lot of students are going virtual. 67 students remain in the dorm. When I say checking out of the dorms, and 67 students remain in the dorms. So that process is beginning. Page 31. We have been able to get, as far as specialized purchases, we have purchased additional isolation room materials, and we've also requested proposals from Howard County testing providers. I did share that before. We did receive 2 responses, FortiCare and Big Spring Urgent Care, and we're working with both of them, and CARES Fund can cover the cost on that. So we're doing that for our dorm students if we have concerns about any kind of symptoms. Okay, upcoming decisions. We continue to have situations happen where we have to purchase resources to support students or operations during altered operations, and when that happens, and that's, of course, information we bring back to you. We are looking at some additional infrared thermal screening stations and air purifiers for the campuses as needed. We don't need many, but just a few, and as the fall semester has evolved. We've seen some instances where we've needed some additional screening stations or air purifiers, so we're in the process of determining where, again, a minimal number, and CARES funding will cover that cost. On page 38, upcoming decisions, potential actions that could be taken at the state level impacting budgets as the economy is being strained. We, again, are staying in close contact with our Texas Association of Community Colleges, and so we're trying to do everything we can to keep plugged in with what's happening in Austin. We continue to have donors interested in providing support for students or employees struggling, so we continue to work on that. Spring break, at this point, there's not a change on spring break, but we're keeping that on the back burner, watching that. Upcoming decisions, continuing on page 39, we will continue updating our Open Howard College plan. We'll talk about that in just a minute. As state and local guidelines change and adjustments are needed. I've already mentioned the fact that the prison programs, we've started them, but we're in close contact with the leadership of those institutions and being very cautious and careful about how we are delivering our instruction. I cannot emphasize enough when I say daily decisions are being made in regard to actions necessary for reported or determined exposures or confirmed cases. Lots of activity with that. And that as a part of our Open Howard College plan, you know that we have basically a triage approach and how if people are having symptoms, if they're confirmed, if they're exposed, different steps that are included in that. And so literally daily decisions being made on that, a lot of overhead with that. Reopening of rentable spaces under consideration and implementation in some cases. Of course, that relates to just, like the gentleman that was just talking to us about interest in the Coliseum. We've had conversations about the Coliseum and what we're doing. As far as how we move forward on some things, as far as basketball season, as you all know, basketball will, the NJCAA pushed everything back to the spring. Our first scrimmage will be January 16th in the afternoon, and then our first home game will be February the 2nd. Generally, we've already had a home game by now. We're probably... as far as scrimmages and other games before we start season, and then we begin to start season. But everything's pushed back, and so we're going to have a very busy spring, and it could be a very interesting spring depending on what happens with our teams. We're we've got protocols in place as far as how that works. But when you talk about the Coliseum, one of the things that we've been looking at is, and talking with other colleges about, is indoor facilities are different than outdoor facilities, and you have to think about all your hand sanitation and your sanitation of the buildings in general. So there's a lot of thought going into that so that we can make sure that we're handling things right when teams come, how we will manage that. And so it's not just Howard College. All the colleges, we're all working together and trying to make sure that we're going to have as safe of an environment as we possibly can. So as far as the Coliseum, we have really been really not using the Coliseum much. Of course, we had election in the East Room, and we have had the teams are practicing. But we really, again, have limited that. So that continues to be a conversation piece with the fire chief, and I did visit with him this morning, and we just continue to try to stay on top of things. With the surges that are going on in the community right now, there's a lot of pause as far as just what to expect. And so we'll have to take all those kinds of things into consideration as the days go forward. We are planning events. for pandemic format until fall of 2021. Basically, we've just decided it's simpler just to plan pandemic, and plan B is we get to be normal, real normal. And so we'd been basically kind of, I think, doing it the other way. And so we've just decided let's plan pandemic, and then we'll work on if things start going the way we want them to go, then we will change up our format. So that's the status report. Mr. Chairman, shall I go on with the open?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. And so, you know, as a part of what we're doing with our COVID response, we also have the Open Howard College plan. And we update this also as needed between meetings, and then we get this out to our college community, and it's also posted on our website. And what you will see as far as changes this time on page 4, we're changing up a little bit as far as if people go into quarantine. We're getting where we know all the protocols and all what's happening, because unfortunately we have a lot of knowledge of all this. And so the process with confirmed cases is you generally are going to get information from the TDHS, and the individual is going to have information, release information. Quarantine is a little different. So when a person has exposure, the difference is, as y'all know, confirmed cases are isolation. Exposures are quarantines. And so although the Texas Department works with confirmed cases to see who has been in exposure, that's a different scenario as far as how involved the department is. And I will just also make this point. I think most everyone knows that our health departments in the San Angelo, Tom Green area, as well as our West Texas area, which is going to take in not just Howard County, but it's going to take in Midland and Odessa, and it's going to go all the way to El Paso. And so we all know that El Paso is a hot spot. So that particular region of the department is being very challenged right now. Not that our Tom Green is not, because it is too. But what's happening for the region that the Howard County area is in, and now Dawson County is in the Lubbock. And we know Lubbock is already challenged, and we know what's going on there. So those individuals are mainly dealing with confirmed cases, and that's when they're going to be releasing letters and have information for people to be able to return to work and those kinds of things. Quarantines are different. And so we have, as it has evolved, we've tried to come up with more and more ways to work with individuals that are quarantined. So there's a process in Tom Green that we're using, and it works. And we've shared this information with you before, and this is through the local health department there. And so there are individuals in Tom Green can access or can submit information, and then they basically are released through that department. But if you live outside in our service area, if you live outside of that county and you do not have a release from a medical professional or health department notice by some weird situation that you might be involved in, then we're having those students contact their campus contact, and we're working with them through a process as far as being able to get them out of quarantine. So those are the things that are happening relative to confirmed cases and quarantines, and that's a little different than what we had reported the last time. And then we've set up a process where we're being able to work directly with the health department to, if we have any reports of a confirmed case that we need to get in. So those are the changes in Open Howard College. If you have any questions about that.
Okay, next item on the agenda is performance and measure outcomes, accountability measures, operational indicators.
We don't have any operational, but we do have financial, and you have your quarterly investment report. And Brenda, do you have anything that you would want to say about that? Okay.
Anyone have any questions or comments about the investment report? If there are none, I need a motion to approve those. Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Wow, that makes four. Thank you very much. Motion approved. All right. Next is the second annual investment report.
All right. Same thing, Brenda. Anything? Okay.
Okay. We've all had a chance to look at it, so I'll need a motion to approve that too, please. So moved. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Good success indicators.
Okay. We don't have anything for student success?
Student success. Purchasing, no purchasing. Handbook catalog changes.
All right. The only catalog change we have is in the Digitex fee, and that's going up. And you have that information in your folder. It's going up from 200 to 300. My thing is decided to – it went out on me, so I'm having to do all this by memory right now. So anyway, so it's gone up about $100. 200 to 300, and again, this is just the cost of what we do between the sharing of online or virtual courses between the colleges, the community colleges in the state of Texas.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the plan for changes? I have a motion. I have a second. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
At the last meeting, we had quite a bit of discussion we mentioned about the roofing project and the additional roofing project, and that was pushed on to this meeting, but I don't see it here.
On the roofing project?
The additional things that were...
Yes, that's going to be in the next meeting in December. Yeah, we worked on some of that. In fact, that's what some of the information that when they meet tomorrow, we're going to go over that and make final decisions, but we're bringing that back.
All right. Any more questions? All right. Our next item is faculty retirement resolution. I think you've had a chance to look at those. Do I have a motion to approve the retirement? Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. One more person lost. Agenda as a president.
Okay. You have your calendar. I don't. And so, anyway, if you are able to have it open, you basically know what we have in the next few weeks, what we've already talked about going through as far as the 75th anniversary information. You've got that. You know that the next board meeting will be on December the 14th, and we'll be getting information, more information out to you about that. I've already shared what we have relative to the semester ending and then the mini semester. So that, I would say, pretty well covers the calendar, unless there's anything. Are y'all able to be on and looking at your calendars? Thank you. Yep. Yeah, I'm having, yeah, it's, I don't know what's going on. Okay, so thank you, Brenda. And I've already mentioned the final exams and all of that. And so you can see also we've got a lot of virtual things that are going on. The San Angelo Foundation meeting will be on the 16th, and those of you who are involved in that, Dr. Freeman, Adrian and Tricia. We'll be getting information to you about that. So that's basically the semester end, and then we finish the regular semester on the 18th, and then the winter break, and then offices open back up on the 4th of January. As far as recognitions and information that successes throughout the district, I want to make the point that I think one of the biggest successes that's happening for the fall semester is that students once again are doing a super job of working through challenges. And it has been another interesting semester for the students, but they have certainly stepped up to the plate and handled it really well. They're completing. They are always think about our students that are in the nursing programs, dental hygiene. They're keeping their clinicals going. Everybody's following protocols. But I think that our students, our faculty and staff, certainly that to me is a big success for this whole fall semester, whole year actually. We're about to be finished with the year. And, of course, as I mentioned at the last meeting, the fact that the nursing students that had gone through the pinning ceremonies, I mean, that was pretty amazing what they accomplished in the spring. So we're very, very proud of all those students. Moving along, Mr. Chairman, if you want me to, legislative and general updates. As far as the legislative appropriation request, you have, that was the script that was actually used. I shared that in your board book. It was a very interesting hearing in front of the Legislative Budget Board. First one, we were not able to be there in person. Everything was virtual. And literally they had all the universities and then the community colleges. We always, the Texas Association of Community Colleges, presents the LAR, Legislative Appropriation Request, for the community colleges as a whole. We were the last one on the list. The community colleges were the last ones, but everybody was given 3 minutes, essentially. And what it was, it was a Zoom meeting, and you had two individuals that were in Austin. They were basically taking care of the meeting itself, the hearing, and then people were basically calling in, Zooming in. And that's the way the process went. So it was very interesting, and I think it's just kind of a precursor of what we're going to be seeing over the next few months. And we'll have more information about the legislative session at the next meeting. And Mr. Chairman and board members, that would be all. You see the Monday, December 14th meeting, some of the things that we intend to have for you. We'll have COVID response status number 9. We'll have the update on the roofing project and some handbook catalog changes, some of the things already mentioned relative to planning. We'll be bringing those back, the fire and safety annual reports will be a part of that, the Education Code 51252 Fall 2020 report, and any other resolutions for retirement we might have. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Well, the only thing I have to say is thank you again for electing me chairman. Like I said, I've been on chairman now for over 15 years. And I think it's time for the next 2 years when we have to reelect again to start considering someone younger. I think it's time to move on to someone that has more youth and more energy than I'm getting. And so thank you very much again. I enjoy serving, and I enjoy the college very much. And so with the authority given to me by the governor of the state of Texas, I consider this meeting adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Dr. Sparks, are we expecting, or are we being encouraged participate in the events tomorrow, considering COVID? You said they were limited.
Okay. As board members, you're always welcome.
There's a difference between welcome and...
And encourage.
Under the circumstances,
yeah.
Are you looking for us to be at any of these, or are you going to more or less be limiting them to the people who are directly involved in the item?
I would say that the probably the ones in the morning would probably no worry about that one at all. Maybe the one in the afternoon at 5:15. And, of course, they'll all be outside, but that one would be a good one, too. Plenty of space to spread out. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely, I would stand as a trustee
sure.
to be at everything.
Sure.
But
yeah, absolutely.
Well, you said specifically
yeah.
small and limited.
Yeah, yeah, we're trying to do our best.
No.
yeah, because we'll have, you know, again, we'll be outside, but we're just trying to do our best.
But we don't want people... For example, the club that's working inside, we don't want them to feel the trustees are uninterested.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, but on the other hand, maybe not too many.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you all for coming.
I'm hanging up. Thank you very much, Eric.
Okay.
Board members.
Thank you. We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.